You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome into Millennial Money, where we have myself, Jeremy, we got Graham in the house. We're going to talk a lot about the markets, everything going on, crypto, oh my gosh, stocks are so much, but we got Andre, who's got a fresh haircut. He's looking good.
Appreciate it.
You read the comments in the last video.
I did?
Did you?
I did not.
There's a lot of comments saying something about a haircut. That's why I thought you got the haircut.
Really?
Really.
I did not read them.
Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah. I was getting roasted, huh?
Yeah.
Well, all of us were. It was like something.
Probably. Yeah. We all need a haircut.
Yeah. And I understand coming after me. I always have bad hair, but I don't think it's right that they came after you two gentlemen.
Oh,
okay.
Appreciate
I think
you
guys' hair looks good.
Dang. How's the stock portfolio doing?
Well, losing hair left and right. So this week, JP Morgan said we were supposed to be up 7% this week. So far, the NASDAQ's down 4% this week. So I'm just trying to figure out when we're going to have that 7% gain that was supposed to come this week.
Mm.
There's supposed to be a lot of money inflowing, and that money doesn't seem to be inflowing.
Where did they say the money was coming from?
Rotation. So from bonds essentially into stocks that were supposed to be coming this week. I don't know where the money's at, man.
Wait, why would they rotate from bonds to stocks?
Oh, so some of these funds are set up, okay? And I don't want to speak on a high level on this, but like the way some of these funds are set up is essentially they have to rotate money. So let's say stocks are way underperforming.
Mm-hmm.
The way some of these, ETFs and funds are set up is you have to essentially sell off some bond assets, put that money into stocks. Now, if stocks do way better, and let's say bonds underperform, then they go rotate that money out of stocks and into bonds. So this was supposed to be playing out this week.
So Jeremy, are they rebalancing? Are they chasing the yields after they happen or before? Do they try to like anticipate it before they happen?
I wouldn't really put it like that necessarily. It's more of just like if they get too far allocated to one side, essentially. Like let's say it's supposed to be like a 50-50 split or something like that. And all of a sudden this side's like more like 55%, 45%. You got to allocate over here. So and each one's different. But that was what was supposed to happen, but it doesn't look like that's happening. So
now, would you guys, in retirement age, would you guys sell off some of your stocks and convert them to bonds? Is that something you're going to try to do as well?
Ooh, in retirement?
Yeah.
That's a good question for the financial advisor, Graham.
Well, I mean, like, I'm just asking, like, if you're 65 right now and you're watching this episode and you're like, well, I'm about to retire soon and I don't know, should I sell some of my stocks and convert it to bonds?
I would probably have a year or two of cash saved up. I don't know how much bonds I would really take on. I'd probably use cash, CDs, treasuries, and use a mixture of that.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe some bonds, 5%.
Yeah. What about the I-bonds? It's yielding like 9.6%.
Yeah, but you could only do up to 10,000. I guess for a married couple, what, 10,000 each? Yeah. So you could get that up to a decent amount.
9.6%
yield. But it's going to adjust.
Yeah,
it's going
to say, every 6 months. Do you think that's sustainable?
No, well, it's based on inflation. So whatever inflation is, that's what it pays.
Absolutely sustainable.
So pretty soon it's going to be 20%.
Oh, my gosh. Inflation, is it coming down, guys? What do you see? Do you think... Let's just focus on the next 3 months. Is inflation going up or coming down in terms of the, are we going to 9%? 8.6% was the last number. How do you feel about this?
I think if we do go down, it's not going to be like substantial. I think we'll still be bobbing around between like 7-8%.
Dang.
It's pretty high.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what do you think, Graham? About the same, 7-8 still for next?
I could
few
probably
months?
See 5-6%.
Okay,
slowly coming down a little bit. Oil's coming down slightly.
Yeah,
shipping is getting a little bit more affordable.
Yeah, yeah. The main issue is it's still so expensive compared to last year, and that's the main problem. Is you have to comp against the year over year numbers.
Yeah.
So it's like although we're coming down, it's like you're still comping against. Like oil price was substantially lower. Like everything was substantially lower last year compared to where it is right now. So I mean, I think you're probably on the right trajectory for the next few months. Yeah. I'm hoping by the end of this year, like if I had to set a goal, I would say 5% by the end of this year. If we can get down to 5%, that sets us up really good.
Yeah.
Because then going into 23, you're talking about maybe getting back down to 3 to 4%, a normal range. The Fed can chill. The market can be stable again, or let's hope, you know, it can be stable. And we don't have to keep raising interest rates.
Yeah. So. Now, Jeremy, let me ask you this. So, looking at the stock market, do you think the stock market likes it when the Fed increases interest rates by a little bit more than expected? Or is the market more bullish when the Fed doesn't increase rates?
Yeah, usually the stock market hates it when the Fed's raising rates. We're in a little different situation.
In this case, it seems like it's positive when it's more than we want.
Yeah, it's a very strange situation.
On the day of, and then it crashes the next day.
Right, that's true.
The day of, it's always up 1%, and the next day's down 2%.
Yeah. I know, it's the truth. So, in this market, everybody wants to see inflation killed. And I was listening to an economist the other day talking, and he was explaining essentially that if we're going to take the economy into recession, if Jay Powell's going to take the economy into recession, right, by keeping on raising interest rates, we got to slay the dragon completely, which is inflation. So meaning essentially, let's not get down to, let's say, 4%, then just be comfortable and, you know, print money again and do all those sorts of things, because then all of a sudden you end up with 5% inflation, 6%. So, you know, he was basically saying we got to kill it all the way down to like 2%.
Right.
Then you can worry about the economy. Then you can worry about, you know, the Fed potentially helping the markets and things like that.
Right.
But he's like, the worst mistake we can make, and he was bringing it back to the 70s, is not slaying the dragon, essentially, is what he was saying.
Yeah, it's so interesting, because I was making one of my videos this past week, and I was just trying to gather some data from like all these banks that are trying to predict when the recession's going to happen, like what the odds are. And it's so funny, because I believe Goldman Sachs put it at like 30%. Their previous one is at 15%.
Yeah.
JP Morgan's like 35%. Citigroup's 50%.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Cathie Wood is saying we're already in a recession.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting. Like, where are they getting their data from? And like, how do they compile it? Because it's such a variety of different answers. And it seems like there's not that many variables we could look at. So our answers should be close, but they're so all over the map.
I know. A lot of it's looking at the data, and then at the end of the day, having a gut feeling on that. You're like, you view all this stuff, and then it's like, okay, based upon everything I looked at, how do I really feel about this? You know, some people look at a model or something like that, but most folks, the end of the day comes down to that gut decision. You're taking all this data, you're gathering it, no different than if you're going to buy a stock, buy a crypto. You're taking everything you learned about that, and then you're saying, because of this data that I've looked at, I feel like this is going to go up over time. So I'm going to invest in this, right?
Do you think that there, anything as far as like, does it play a role if these banks are putting out certain data and they're telling people like, oh, don't worry, only 30%. Do you think that there's something going on to where maybe they have an incentive to tell people there's not that much of a chance of a recession? Or do you think they're telling the truth? They're just telling us what they know.
A lot of times what it is that an analyst at that bank, so what it is like one analyst will make a call and he'll say, you know, 70% of recession. And but then it's labeled as like JP Morgan thinks this. But it's really just
the
one
analyst
inside JP Morgan. Meanwhile, the big boss, Jamie Dimon, could think something completely different. True. Right.
Right.
And so, yeah, I think everybody views it as this big bank is saying something. But really, a lot of times it's like this one analyst that makes like 100K.
Don't they still sign off on that, though? I can't have an analyst go rogue and be like, all right, guys, we're about to crash.
Right.
Prepare now.
Yeah, sometimes, man, it gets into a lot of conflicts of interest, because sometimes the bank doesn't want to get too far involved with what the analyst is saying, because if then it comes down to, oh, you're trying to make the analyst say a certain thing, that could come back on the actual big bank, the whole entity.
Yeah.
And they're saying, oh, you're forcing your analyst to say this thing over here. So, I don't know. It's a lot of conflicts of interest. Is there some shady stuff that goes on? Absolutely.
The reason I ask is because if you guys remember Bill Ackman's situation, where it was like in 2020, where he was, I forget exactly what asset he was doing this with, but he was telling something. He was telling the public one thing, and then behind the scenes, he was doing completely the opposite in his own interest. So that's kind of what I'm asking. Like, I wonder if institutions get into that game of like, you know, where it's like something's going on behind the scenes. Maybe we don't know. Because the central bank, the New York Fed, which is also not the official Fed, they put out their estimates of a recession or a hard landing, right?
Yeah.
To back-to-back negative GDP quarters. And they put the odds at 80% over the next 2 years that we will have a hard landing.
Oh, wow.
So it's kind of interesting, where it's like the Fed is telling us one thing. You know, everyone else is like completely different.
Oh, yeah. I got a trivia question for you guys, okay? I've been doing some digging on many various things recently. Tell me what year in the last... let's say 15 years, Goldman Sachs had their best profit, their best net income.
What year?
Yeah.
15 years.
No, I'm gonna guess 2021 or 2020.
Okay.
Oh gosh. Probably like 2010, 2000.
Okay. Yeah. You're pretty close. 2009.
Oh, okay.
Which is surprising. 13.3 billion, which makes you think, like, how did they make so much money?
Right.
But they had like $34 billion of trading and principal investments in 2009. Because I've been doing this like project, essentially looking back at recessions and like how stocks perform, how business models perform. And it was crazy to look back at Goldman Sachs having $13.3 billion. And, of profits made that year. And it's just an incredible number because you, like all the other years are like 4 billion, 8 billion and whatnot, but they just made bank in a year when, and that was part of the resentment. Do you guys remember like Occupy Wall Street and all that stuff?
Yep.
That was part of the resentment because they're like, these big banks got the bailouts. Now they're making so much money and it just, you know, and the banks did pay back that money,
right?
At least the ones that made it through. Mm. But yeah, it's
speaking,
incredible.
Speaking of
that.
Bailouts, what do you guys think of the potential gas tax holiday thing?
Oh, what a joke.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. I mean, for me with a Tesla, I don't get... where's my holiday? I'm kidding. I want a holiday.
I want a holiday.
Oh, dude, yeah, the X. Yeah. I have free supercharging for life with that.
Do you really?
Yeah, and so every time I go to LA or like... Arizona, imagine how much that saves.
So here's the thing. I went to LA with the Tesla and I was doing the supercharger thing and I looked at the cost. It was like $40.
Yeah.
I was like, wait.
It's not cheap.
I legit thought like to buy a Tesla, you're not going to pay that much for electricity. And that's true while you're at home.
Yeah.
But when you're supercharging, it's almost no different than going to a gas station in terms of cost.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Was it that much?
It was that much.
I had no idea. I got free supercharging too.
Oh, yeah. Well done, Graham. Thanks.
That's cool. No,
well, Graham, you got the battery packed at this size.
Yeah, so it's true. I got a supercharge all the time. But no, I put my referral link in that Tesla video.
Yeah,
that somebody saw a Tesla video.
Up.
And I got like, I don't know, I think it's now at like 80 or 90 people have bought a Tesla through that link.
Whoa.
And so in return for that, I ended up getting like 200,000 miles of free supercharging.
Imagine it's
in
like
car.
2 million. It's like your kids' kids have Tesla supercharging.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I just missed the mark because it used to be if you got 50 people to sign up through that link, you would get a free Tesla Roadster.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Some guy got
just
like
two of them.
Yeah.
Two of them. But well, who knows when they're actually, exactly.
Yeah.
Who
yeah.
knows if that's actually going to
You never got it. Yeah, no one.
Yeah, no one did.
Yeah.
But, and then it was also supposed to be entered into a drawing every month to win a brand new Tesla Model Y or a Founders Edition Roadster. I don't know if anyone's ever been picked on that. So it seems like a lot of talking on that.
Yeah. That's crazy. But yeah, anyway, so it's expensive. It's expensive. I was shocked. I was like, $40?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What is this?
Yeah. But to be fair, my friend got a new Raptor and we drove around Arizona when I was out there and he said $200 to fill that baby up.
Jeez.
$200.
Well, it's good that he's going to be saving 18 cents a gallon now from the gas tax holiday. I'm sure that's really, I just think it's so small in comparison to everything else that it's not going to make a huge difference.
No.
When it's $5.40 a month.
Yeah, because you got to think, when you get rid of, let's just say, a 20% tax, and I don't know, is the tax in proportion to the amount per gallon, or is it a flat tax? I believe it's a flat tax, like a flat 18 cents.
Yeah.
If that's the case, that's a lot more impactful when gas is at $2 a gallon versus 6 to 7.
The other confusing part is, who's to say the gas station is going to automatically lower the price 18 cents?
No, but that's a federal tax. So I don't think that's money that they could even raise the cost to offset that.
Mm.
I could be mistaken, but I don't think, I think that just goes automatically to as a tax.
It's
that's calculated separately from what they charge. Now, who's to say they don't keep the, you know, just raise the prices
that's
just
what I'm
overall?
Saying, just keep it, you know, and like,
maybe,
let's say it's $5.60 and then you got the federal tax holiday and
maybe
they keep it $5.60.
You know, I just don't think it's going to make much of a difference. And then I think they're going to try to do like price fixing and say to like Exxon, you know, you can't charge more than X amount per gallon.
Yeah.
And maybe try to cap it. But I'm not sure if they could do that or what's reasonable to ask on that.
I don't even know. Is it even going to get done though? I don't even know if that's going to get through.
It doesn't look like it's going to.
Yeah, I think they probably realized, oh, this is not going to work the way. Who's to say the gas station is going to lower the price 18 cents? Yeah,
it just seems like virtue signaling at this point just to get reelected.
Seems like a good, we're doing something. Yeah. Hey, guys, mm-hmm. we tried.
Yeah.
It's 18 cents or 20 cents. Right. California's issuing, did you see those inflation relief checks?
I saw that's that. Yeah. Well, how much is it for?
It's anywhere between, I think, you could get all the way up to $1,050.
That's what I saw, yeah.
And people, I don't know, I think it's people up to like 250 or 500 grand married are eligible for this inflation relief.
Wow.
And what it is that California had excess reserves. They basically became so profitable during COVID that they have all this excess money that they could then redistribute back. So some people are claiming, well, it's not really, this isn't going to cause inflation because the money has already been printed. It's just excess that's being redistributed. But, I can't help but feel like, there might be better places to spend that money. Well, that but then again, it's probably better in the hands of people than spent by the state of California. Right. So, between the two, it's probably better someone has it in their pocket.
Well, that was my next question for you guys. Do you think that giving people stimulus checks of, let's say, $1,000 right now, everybody was to get one, gosh. Do you think that would increase inflation?
Yes, but where's the money coming from, though? Right. Yeah, it's got to be printed at that point. I don't think we have excess to give everyone that.
Yeah, that everybody goes gets a new iPhone. So it's interesting. I was looking at numbers today, and Apple, in trivia again, how much did Apple's revenue go up in a dollar amount from what their 2019 revenue number was to their 2021 revenue number?
Mm, you're talking about just EPS?
No, just their revenue. Like how much in a dollar amount did their revenue go up? Would you estimate?
I have no idea. Like
just
10,
throw out a guess.
20%?
It's not a dollar amount. I mean, my guess, I can't do a dollar amount. I just don't know. My guess is they probably tripled.
Tripled? No, that would be ridiculous. No,
doubled? I mean,
Apple stock would be like $10 trillion or something. But no, it went up $105 billion, their revenue, from 2019 to 2021. And you got to think, like, how much of that was stimulus
money?
Wait,
you're saying it went up $105 billion from 2019. What was it? Do you know the 2019 number?
2019 was 200 and, I think it was $260 billion. Okay. And then I think they did 365 in 2021. So yeah, it was like
130%. Yeah. Wow.
It's just crazy number. But you got to think like definitely some people need the stimulus money, the PPP loans, all that stuff, right? But then there was a lot of people that got that money that didn't. And what do we know about Americans when they get money? They spend the money.
Right.
And so like Apple is probably the most direct beneficiary of like, I got an extra $2,000 in my bank account. Right. Time to buy a new iPhone, some AirPods and stuff like that.
Well speaking of the PPP money, the reason that I have a new car right now, which is a car that like I never in a million years thought I would ever buy.
Yeah.
It's your PPP loan.
It actually was a PPP loan.
Whoa.
From someone got a PPP loan. They used that money to buy a luxury car and voluntarily then gave it up. So it's kind of crazy that now it's kind of unraveling.
Yeah. And wasn't that like illegal? Like technically, isn't that illegal that you weren't supposed to use the funds for anything?
No. Right? It was for business only. For people.
It's forgiven as long as you use, I think it's like half or 65%. I don't know the exact amount towards your direct business expenses, which could be payroll or rent.
And then, do you remember someone bought like a Charizard?
Charizard. So technically, buying that Tesla is perfectly legal. It lets us say they get 300 grand, but they spend, 180 of that on rent and employees. Well, then they're free to spend the rest on the Tesla.
Well, yeah.
There's also nothing that says, I'm my own employee. I could compensate myself.
Because people have gotten in deep trouble with that whole situation. Some have gone to jail because of what were they doing? It was like faking they had employees or saying like, oh, I got 10 employees or whatever, getting that money and then going and spending it in Miami or whatever. So
yeah, absolutely. But you could legally do it if you said if you make, let's just say, on your payroll $7,000 a month, you could pay yourself that as long as you're continuing what you were already doing, as long as you're paying the bills that you were already paying.
Yeah.
And those people that get caught are just idiots. They're posting on Instagram about it. I feel like there is so much that we don't see.
Yeah.
That we're only seeing the tip of the iceberg in terms of the PPP fraud. That little tip, those are idiots.
Yeah.
Just everyone else don't post about it. Don't do something stupid.
Gucci coat.
Yeah, don't buy a Lamborghini. Don't buy a Charizard. Yeah. And certainly don't brag about it.
Mm-hmm.
So
what good is it if you don't brag about it on social
that's
media?
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. I know in today's society, that's everything,
that's
man.
That's the whole point.
It's like, you don't do it for yourself. You do it for the gram.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, of course, there are the people taking it out of mailboxes as prepaid cards. That was common.
What was it?
Yeah. Because they were given in the prepaid cards. So people were going through people's mailboxes to take the cards.
Oh.
People don't have bank accounts. They have to issue them.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought it was either a direct deposit or you got a check.
No.
Oh, wow. I didn't know it was also doing... like
because for a check, you have to have a bank account.
But I thought you had to verify your identity somehow.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are ways around it.
Right.
You know, verify identity. Everything is already online. I mean...
Oh, gosh.
Okay. It's a quick Google search. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, no,
I've never done it, Andre, so I have no idea.
Come on, Graham, explain it to us. How did you do this?
Yes, you go to the mailbox, right? Hire all the local neighborhood kids.
I feel like if there's somebody would have looked into it, it would have been you, Graham. just out of interest, you're like, okay, how are people
doing
this?
How do I protect my mailbox?
You know what's funny is it's like, you know, obviously they didn't want to send the stimulus money and whatnot to rich people and things like that. But you know what's funny is, the rich people ended up getting the money at the end of the day anyways. Who got the money? Like, who ended up getting all the stimulus money?
Here's the thing. Didn't Kanye get, like, a couple...
The rich people got the biggest stimulus checks because they got the PPP.
Right.
Yeah,
The $600 checks were nothing compared to the hundreds of thousands of dollars that self-employed people can get.
It's true. A friend of mine has a friend who, he says his business got $2 million.
I believe it.
Jeez, that's a number.
So yeah, so easily received between $2 million and $5 million through the PPP.
Really?
It said it saved
106 jobs. So it did do something.
Now, here's the thing, though, is a lot of this, you have to remember, at the time when that was issued, everything was shut down. And we had no idea how bad things were going to get. And it was a first-come, first-served sort of deal where if you didn't take this now and it runs out, you're not going to get it.
Yeah.
And we had no idea how bad things were going to get. So I think a lot of legitimate good companies were doing this just out of the fear of, like, well, we don't know what's going to happen. So... We should err on the side of caution, especially when it's offered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now in hindsight, it's like, well, duh. But I remember at the time, it's just, you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Crazy.
Speaking of kind of that, did you see the...
Celsius?
Yes.
I didn't know we were going there.
Middle class.
The middle class. Did we talk about them yet? No.
The 3AC, 3RS Capital.
So that's the hedge fund, if I recall, right?
Yeah.
And what's the deal? Are they just going under? They're just defaulting?
They're not able to pay their obligation. And Voyager's on the hook for over $600 million with them.
Was that announced today officially?
No, that was a couple days ago.
Okay.
And that was one of the reasons why they needed to get bailed out by FTX.
Yeah.
Because...
What a disaster.
Wow. Well, it's a good thing that FTX sponsors our videos. down below in the description, you could sign up for FTX US and get all the way up to $100 when you use our link with the code MMFTX.
But can you get free crypto with every trade over $10?
You can.
What?
As long as you use the link down below in the description with the code MMFTX.
But can you also do like recurring buys? Like let's say I wanted to buy like $20 of a crypto, like Ethereum each week.
That's the best part about it, Jeremy. You could set up automatic recurring buys so that you could dollar cost average into the markets on a regular basis.
Wow.
It's incredibly easy to. All you got to do is just select what you want.
Yeah.
And then you click how much you want to buy, how often you want to buy it.
Wow.
And then you swipe right.
That's beautiful.
It's like 10 seconds.
Right. Oh my gosh. And literally you can get access to that by just going to the description and using the referral code MMFTX.
It's incredibly easy.
Wow.
Yeah. And they partnered with the likes of Steph Curry, Tom Brady, Coachella, in the Miami Heat Arena.
I was waiting, Andre.
Jeremy Lefebvre.
Oh, boy.
To push it over the edge, just in case
you
need that
me
extra.
Just give me my free crypto. That's all I'm here for.
Well, we get that? What?
Do we get that free crypto?
Free crypto?
Yeah.
What about free crypto?
We get free crypto for using FTX?
All the way up to $100. Here so if you guys are interested, the link is down below in the description. And apparently they're... bailing a lot of people out. So
Sam is staying true to his name, Sam Bankman.
He's freeing the 3AC from their debts.
Exactly.
What do you guys think about the whole, there was a rumor yesterday, obviously, about potentially FTX buying out Robinhood.
Yeah.
You know, and Sam kind of threw cold water on it, but he kind of, in my opinion, if you read through the lines, what it sounded like to me, he threw cold water on, is that there's any discussions between FTX and Robinhood. He didn't necessarily throw water on the potential that maybe FTX is discussing something internally, which none of us know, right?
Yeah.
So do you guys think that could ever be a possibility that maybe they were to try to buy out a Robinhood or something?
I think so. Okay. I keep getting flack for this, but I don't think Robinhood is a bad investment necessarily. I mean, they got such a big user base, and yeah, they do have their problems.
Yeah.
But I think you still go on Wall Street Bets and you still see a lot of people posting Robinhood screenshots.
It's true. Yeah.
And so I think they're a good entry point for the market. Mm-hmm. Like if you're just getting started, a lot of people just do Robinhood. It's just not intimidating. Yeah. So I think from that perspective, it might be a benefit to them to do it.
Yeah. And also, we still have to see, you know, what's going to be interesting is there's still so many, obviously, younger folks that still use Robinhood. And it's going to be interesting to see over the next 5-10 years as the younger folks get older and more money, do they ever switch from Robinhood? You know, because like I've been with my brokerage on the stock side since I got started in the market with a few hundred bucks, right? And I've stayed with them this whole time. So it'd be interesting to see as people's wealth grows and all of a sudden that investment account has $50,000, $100,000, $200,000, if they ever say, you know what, I'm going to switch from Robinhood to this other company or something like that. Right. So
it's interesting. I started with Robinhood in like 2014.
Whoa, that's
actually
early.
I will say Vanguard was my first one. So okay. That's when I played with index funds and then I found Robinhood.
Played with index?
I was going to say
with index. With buying and selling index funds?
No,
I'm going to get out today.
No, I mean in terms of like just discovering what strategy I liked, right? Okay. So I'm figuring out like, oh, cool, index funds, buy and hold. Oh, dividend stocks, they pay you dividends.
Yeah.
Cool. Just kind of playing around. Mm-hmm. But I didn't really get seriously started into investing until I downloaded Robinhood, which before then, if you remember, there was Zecco and Trade King and they got rebranded.
Yeah.
So Robinhood was actually the first one. They were just the first one that, you know, it kind of caught on.
Yeah. I even thought some of those still charge like some super small commission. I thought like $2.95 or something like that.
No, Zecco did not trade. Didn't charge anything. I don't know why it didn't catch on, but it didn't. Yeah. It got bought out, rebranded, but an LI Bank, I believe, bought out Zecco or got rebranded into it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
But anyway, that was my kind of foray into investing. So, I mean, I could see FTX buying Robinhood just from a strategic standpoint. If he corners all these brokerages, like you said, with the younger people, like that would be such a massive advantage.
Yeah, the thing with Robinhood is the voting shares are completely controlled by the founders.
Right.
So if the founder, even if FTX was to, let's say, put a much steeper price than what the stock's trading at, the FTX founders, if they want it, could easily vote that down. And it doesn't matter. All the people that are holding Robinhood stock, it still won't matter because 64% is held by the founders.
I would imagine, though, if he's buying Robinhood, he would negotiate for that voting control.
Yeah, well, no, if they acquire, then they're not going to have any voting control moving forward. But in order to get that to pass, the founders have to vote first on if they would allow that buyout.
Do they have that toxic pill thing? That
poison pill.
Poison pill, not toxic pill.
I don't know to that extent because I don't know exactly what that was referring to.
Twitter. Remember when Elon was trying to buy Twitter?
Yeah.
And the poison pill was just injecting more shares?
Oh, okay. I don't know if Robinhood has that. All I know is the only way that any deal can happen, it has to go through the Robinhood founders. And they would have to vote, yes, we want to be acquired by FTX. Yeah. Even if FTX, like, let's say this is not realistic, but let's say they offered like $20 a share, which would be over double up of the stock price right now, which wouldn't happen. But let's say that happened, the founders could still say no, because we think it's going to be $100 stock in the future. So they could easily vote no. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. I do know Robinhood as
of
last
quarter. Do you own Robinhood?
I don't know. But they had over $6 billion of just cash on the balance sheet.
Yeah, but their expenses, I'm sure, are so high.
Oh, for sure.
It'd be like losing, like holding on to a rental property that's making all this money. But like if the expenses are so high, it's who'd want to buy it?
Yeah. Mm. No, for sure. But maybe FTX could lean out the company too.
Mm.
You know, and get it to a state where maybe they're not profitable, but they're closer to that range of profitability because maybe they could get some cost synergies, you know, lean out payroll expenses, maybe get some cost synergies.
Yeah. I think that would be a good move if they were to do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you own any Robinhood stock?
I do. I've been back holding.
Yeah. That's why you want the buyout.
Yeah, that's why I want the buyout. Yeah. Yeah.
Can you disclose how much money you put into it?
Too much.
Too much?
Okay. Too much.
Okay. Yeah, well, all the fintechs are getting crushed. So it's not just Robinhood.
Exactly.
It's everything.
Even PayPal, Square, I mean, everything. Yeah. Affirm. Oh, my gosh. That stock's down like 86%. Coinbase.
So, Jeremy, you think inflation's really like getting rid of that is the thing that'll make us come back, especially with fintech?
I think that's the biggest step in the right direction. Like, what does the market want to see? Like, of people that are holding cash, what do everybody want to see? They want to see inflation come down,
right?
And come down substantially from these 8% numbers to like 4%.
Well, 3%. Let me interrupt you real quick, because I remember you made a video recently about how people are wrong in assuming that we need the Fed to lower interest rates for the market to come back up.
Mm-hmm.
Can you kind of elaborate on that video? You said that we don't necessarily need the Fed to lower interest rates back to where they were for the stock market to boom again.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen the stock market go up in time periods when interest rates were going up. We've seen the stock market we've seen the stock market go up or down in basically every single situation: inflation, deflation, a situation where interest rates are being raised,
right,
a situation where the Fed's balance sheet is not increasing and is just flatlining or even going down. We've seen the stock market go up. So I think that was a point I was mainly making in that video. Like, if you look at 2015 through 2019, the Fed's balance sheet did not go up during that time. You can pull it up. Like, anybody can Google it right now. It actually flatlined and actually went down from 2015 to 2019. Meanwhile, the stock market did very well.
But what were rates back then? 3-4%?
Yeah, much. I'm trying to remember. No, Fed funds rate was much lower than that. Or are you talking about just overall interest rates? Yeah, probably like 3-4. Fed funds rates was much below that. But everybody thinks like, oh, you need this to happen or this to happen for the stock market to go up. And it's not necessarily true. Yeah.
What, it just seems like a lot of macro guys with a ton of money just kind of just watch the Fed like a hawk. And it's like, I'm just going to follow the Fed's moves. So
yeah, the biggest concern now for the stock market is We've had like a complete valuation crash, in my opinion, now. Now, the next thing is, do we have an earnings crash? Mm. Meaning, essentially, does Apple's earnings go from, you know, all of a sudden down 30% EPS, 40%? Because then that's when you can get that next layer lower, right? Where you can all of a sudden get the S&P 500 to go down 35%, 40%, 50%, if all of a sudden everybody's earnings are going.
Right. Kevin O'Leary doesn't seem to think so.
Yeah,
he's very bullish on the economy. I was watching a couple of his videos and he's like, what are you guys talking about? We're not going into a recession. The earnings are great. I'm like, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
He's very confident.
He was saying something about cash flow. I look at the company's cash flow. My companies are cash flowing.
If it don't flow, what was his saying? It was like, if it don't cash flow, it's got to go or something like that.
What? That's your friend, Graham. Gosh. What does he say?
I don't know what he says.
Oh, yeah, come on.
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
You used to hang out with him all the time back in the day.
Back in the day.
Remember?
You
on
and
your
best friends.
Yeah. You did at least one video with him, didn't you? Or two?
Two videos.
Okay. Yeah. And then did you ever go on his channel or no?
Yeah.
You did? Okay.
How was he like?
Awesome.
Yeah.
I really like him a lot.
I know he's like one of your heroes.
Yeah. I'm working now to meet up with him again to get now it's almost 2 years, update on my portfolio.
Oh, cool.
He reviewed it once before and I wanted to review it again.
Oh, cool.
2 years later.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
If you had one person to do a video with, and this is like the last person you can ever have on your channel, you're only allowed to do one more YouTube video for the rest of your life, who's that one person?
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You would have in that video.
Warren Buffett right here, Jeremy.
Part of me thinks
like I know who it is.
You wouldn't know who it is.
Okay.
You wouldn't know who it is. Okay. Part of me thinks Floyd Mayweather.
Can I take what?
Really?
Yeah, because I think
that's
shocking. He would be so interesting to talk about his personal finances.
Whoa.
Because I bet it would be shocking. Wow. Just what he spends, his mindset of money, you know, his come up on that, just like from the financial perspective.
Yeah. The problem with Floyd, I've watched 8,000 interviews with him, is he talks around points. He never gives you specifics. He's like, oh yeah, I got investments in New York City.
Yeah. I mean, if we could get him to nail down exactly what his net worth is, how he built it up, where his money's coming from, like all of that.
I wonder if he even knows. I feel like he doesn't even know what his monthly expenses are.
You are probably right. Yeah. So I highly doubt he's sitting there on his Excel spreadsheet every night with his glasses on, just like, we spent too much on energy this month. Let's bring that down.
I could just see a 20-minute long video with Graham roasting him for 20 minutes. Just, like, you own how many Bugattis?
Yeah, he could afford it. He could. I mean, it's just like, it's nothing to him. That's the thing.
Wow.
That I think would be interesting.
Yeah. I heard he might try to fight McGregor again for another 100 mil.
Well, yeah.
So it's always a rumor, like, Floyd gets desperate for money and then he sets up in the fight to make another 100, 200 mil.
Gosh.
So I don't know. We'll see.
What would it be for you, Jeremy?
For me? Oh, man. One person?
It's got to be Warren Buffett. If it's not Warren Buffett, I'm going to be upset.
I know. That would be fun. But I'm also the YouTuber in me is thinking about views. And we know who's going to bring in the most views, and that's Mr. Elon Musk.
I was going to say Elon.
That would be a fantastic one. Yeah,
my personal side says Warren Buffett. My YouTube side says Elon Musk.
Yes. Yeah, so. You're right.
So, yeah. You know what's interesting is seeing the divergence in the love and hate for different billionaires. You got Elon Musk, who gets a lot of love from average folks, I feel like, right? He gets a lot of hate, I feel like, from people that have a ton of money. I feel like he's kind of the one that people are like, I don't really like him. Meanwhile, like a Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos, I think those guys have a ton of respect from people that have a ton of money. But those guys get, I think, a lot more hate, especially Bill Gates, from just regular folks. And so it's just interesting seeing like the personal brands and how this one is seen as like a savior over here, but it's seen as like an enemy over here. It's just,
that's a good point. Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah, and we're kind of going into this like personal brand era. And I wonder how much like guys like Bill Gates or Jeff Bezos care about it. I know Elon Musk cares tremendously about his personal brand and the way he's viewed. But I wonder how much those guys really care or don't care.
Probably not much.
Probably not much.
No, I can't imagine.
Yeah. And if they do care, I wonder if they even know how to fix their personal brands.
I feel like if they really cared, they would be on social media being more outspoken like Elon is.
That's true.
Yeah, they're just
Bill Gates posting selfies on Instagram. Shirtless mirror selfies.
Chair jump. One more time. Chair jump. I guess remember that video?
No, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, Bill Gates did like a chair jump when he was younger in his like 20s.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And like a...
He's like, what was that? He's like, oh, I could jump over this? Yeah, that was so awkward and
weird. It was
weird
and awkward, And then he did it again, I think, recently with... recently, like in the last 10 years, I think he did it as like an homage to his... 20-year-old self. It was cool.
Yeah. Bill Gates. Jeff Bezos. I love some of his old interviews you can find of him on YouTube. Like the 1997 one when Amazon was just a teeny little thing. This random guy's just like interview. Well, I was going to say from a phone. Couldn't have been a phone back then. But like, and he's like, yeah, well, I think Amazon's going to grow because the computing is growing at 236,000%. And if we just sell this many books, hey, like it's just a great video. And then there was the 60 Minutes piece that was done, I think, in 99 on him, which was a really good piece that you can still find clips of on YouTube. And those are just classics, man. You know, because you're like seeing like something that ended up becoming so big, but in like such an infancy state. And it's just amazing.
No, I remember when Amazon was just selling books. It was like the only thing you could buy. Yeah. And then when they opened it up to everything else, it was like, of course, this makes perfect sense. Yeah, I want to buy everything from Amazon.
Yeah. And it's crazy because, you know, eBay was in such a leadership position in terms of like e-commerce at one time. And it's just like, man, why didn't eBay...
They didn't capitalize.
Yeah, end up becoming... Why didn't Yahoo become Google?
Yahoo?
Yahoo?
Yeah. Is that not how it's pronounced?
No.
Yahoo!
I remember those.
Someone commercials. Sound clip that.
Yeah. Just take that.
Oh, man. I know exactly what's going to happen here.
Do you guys remember...
What?
The Yokito Taco Bell commercials back in the day?
The Chihuahua dog.
Yeah, those are awesome. I was showing my kids.
Yeah, my dog Rito looks like that dog. Straight up looks like the Taco Bell dog.
Taco Bell. Oh, man.
He also looks like the kind of dog that eats Taco Bell, too.
Anyway, speaking of the middle class.
Well, speaking of the middle class, when we were watching those commercials, two tacos for 99 cents.
What?
Yeah, and you could get a big like Mexican pizza thing. Taco Bell back
in
1997.
Coupon code? Oh, okay.
No, coupon code MMF. You know, okay.
Yeah, I was looking at these prices and they show this picture of like this big Mexican pizza they called it back then, 99 cents. And it's got like all this meat and cheese. I'm like,
yeah.
Probably most likely you go there, you have to get a drink. And then make the money in the drink.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah, it was buy a drink, you get the big Mexican pizza thing for 99 cents back then. And then there was
chalupas. Dude, you're making me crave Taco Bell now. I swore off Taco Bell.
Graham, you made a nasty face. Are you not a Taco Bell fan?
I'm not a fan of Taco Bell.
He's not the middle class.
Graham went like this.
I can't eat that.
Wow.
No, I like Taco Bell. Okay.
It's so affordable though, Graham. I mean, they got the dollar.
I love Subway.
Subway's really
good. Subway is fantastic.
It's really good.
Yeah. I haven't had Subway in a long time too.
I had some Subway. I was desperate one day because we got this house in Arizona. That's
desperate.
No, because we got this house in Arizona and there's like nothing near this house except a Subway. So I got Uber Eats from the Subway because everything's so far away. And it's like $10 fee, $20 fee for delivery. I'm like, I'm not paying that crap. Yeah. So I got Subway. Oh, so nasty, man. I couldn't even eat it.
What'd you get?
I got like a regular Italian with like black olives, but I think the black olives might have been bad.
Oh.
It tasted like
Firehouse Subs is nasty. Better than Subway, but
yeah.
You've been what was it?
Quiznos.
I have, yeah, that's so good.
Quiznos is fantastic. They're expensive now. Though. Oh, it's like $13 for like a. Are they still in business?
I thought
been
they
a
were
while.
Like Blimpy and they went out.
No,
remember Blimpy?
I don't.
Okay, Blimpy went under.
I feel like
Yahoo.
Yahoo.
I feel like the same way as AOL. Arby's is like the more expensive chain. Arby's.
How's
really
Arby's staying business?
I don't understand it either.
We all know you go through the drive-through and you say a code word and they drop something in the bag that they shouldn't, and that's how they stay in business.
A curly fry?
Mm.
No, like seriously, I don't understand how some of these places stay in business. I'm just like, you go by the drive-thrus and it's like maybe one customer an hour and it's like, geez, man, I don't get it.
Yeah, well, like Wendy's, like I never go to Wendy's. I don't understand how it's still open.
And they run 64 commercials on TV a day and it's like, how do you guys pay for
money laundering? They're laundering NFTs.
Somebody
is
there, yeah.
Gosh. And then with wages the way they've gone up, you probably got to pay people like $15 an hour now just to, you know, flip the burgers or whatever.
Somebody sent me an article recently about some restaurant that opened up that was, you know, NFT based and crypto based. And it's like they stopped accepting crypto as payment, which is unfortunate.
Wait. They stopped accepting crypto?
Yeah. Imagine a crypto based restaurant that's like, guys, no more crypto.
What? I don't even know why they do that. Because at the end of the day, it's like it doesn't matter. Well, you could just raise your price, right? So let's say you used to charge like, let's say, I don't know.
But then what if it changes in 5 minutes?
You're that's true. I guess. Like, yeah. You just have to update daily.
Just every second.
You're like, it's like the stock market where like the price constantly fluctuates.
Yeah.
These French fries are $5. $10, that's ridiculous for $15 French fries. Yeah.
Did you guys ever hear of the bar? There's a bar, I don't know if it was in Charlotte or if it's in New York City, but there's a bar where how it works is kind of like stock tickers. So the price is always changing. So they'll make a drink and then it's like $7. Wow. And then like if no one buys it, it goes down to like $6.50 and then $6
that's cool.
And $5.50.
That's a great concept. Yeah. I feel like that's something we should try.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
That's a business idea for us. Yeah.
Right.
We'll have a millennial money one. Yeah.
That would be so cool.
I know.
I don't know what it would
that's
be.
Good.
And then eventually somebody's like, oh, I got to buy that in like $4. And everybody's like, oh, it was going down cheaper.
Yeah.
Like,
you know what? They had an app like that. That I forget what the app was called, but they would have like iPhones come up, iPod, like an iPod at the time, or like shoes.
I remember it. I forget the tip of my tongue.
Yeah, was it Drop or something like that?
Something
maybe it was
like that,
something like that. And I actually got something on there. I forget what it was, but maybe I got the iPhone actually.
Really?
Yeah. So what it does, it starts out at the MSRP and it just keeps going down and down and down. And there are all these people watching it. And the first to swipe up buys it at that price.
Mm.
But the longer you wait, the cheaper it gets.
Oh.
And so like it got to a price for me where I'm like, that's really cheap. Oh yeah, it was an iPhone. I got for like $500. Like no one was on this thing. Because people will purposely hold out just to get the price down a lot to be able to buy it. Because if there are like 30 people and they all collectively say, okay, let's just get this down to $200.
Yep.
Like you could do that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it was an iPhone. And they sure enough shipped it.
Wow.
Real thing.
It was legit.
It was legit.
Wow.
Is it
Why
still
didn't
around?
You turn this into a full-time
I don't think
income.
So. I don't think it was still around.
Okay.
No, I did this probably 2017.
Okay.
Oh.
16, something like that.
I think you could have gone full-time with it.
Yeah.
Just buying
oh,
stuff
you know what? You know
selling.
What? The issue was that they only did a few drops a day.
Oh,
so
okay.
It wasn't like you could just go from one to another to another to, like, you had to wait a few hours in between.
I know.
You weren't even guaranteed to get anything.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, like, how did they make money on that?
I don't know. They could have just taken returns or something like that. I don't know, though.
But your phone was new, right?
It was new.
Interesting. Mm. Interesting. Wow.
You guys investing in anything?
Oh, yeah. So somebody said, Jeremy, how are you enjoying catching all those fallen knives?
Jeremy, your hand's okay from catching those knives?
Yeah. And you know what
that's
I said?
That cut right there.
Silver
yeah.
knives.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, but you know what? I'm catching all the knives. I'm going to have all the knives, and I got the knife block.
Ooh.
And so you might get caught, man.
Dang.
I don't know if that made any sense. That but anyways, yeah, I'm going to collect all yeah. the knives at the end of
how
the day.
Often do you buy, Jeremy? Every week? Every day?
Almost every week right now. Really? Yeah, like I bought today. I bought six stocks today.
Do you have a minimum position or like a minimum, I guess, cost that you would be willing to pay? Or like, I'm not buying lower than like $2,000 at a time.
No. Like there was a stock today. I bought less than $1,000.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Which means I'm struggling. No, I'm just kidding.
How much cash do you keep on hand?
Not much. I've been low for months. Yeah. Cause I just buy. So yeah, I just, consistently, I don't want to say consistently cause you guys are like, I think the best versions of consistent, like you guys are literally the same exact amount.
Yeah.
Right?
Exact amount. I don't know.
Is I'm it? The same amount.
Oh.
Well, okay. I thought you were, you're not same amount. You'll kind of, I thought you were
no,
same amount.
No, I was the same amount.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every day.
$10,000 a day.
Exactly.
No. So me, I'm a little, like 1 week I'll invest like 12,000. Next week I might invest 5,000. Next week I might invest 20.
Oh,
next week I might
saying.
Invest two.
Got
like,
it.
Just depends. But yeah, pretty much every week I've been buying and, I don't see that ending this year. Mm. I think it's because even when we start to go up, if we start to go up this year, that's a big question. We might just continue to go down this whole year. But even when we start to go up, so many stocks are so low, they're all going to be under cost basis still.
Right.
Like, let's say the chef, right? $6. Okay, let's say it goes to $8. My cost base on chef is like 14. So right. Even if it's $8, you know.
But what if it never gets back to 14?
It's always a possibility.
Do you have a plan?
Hold. Yeah, I mean, as long as the fundamentals of the company are going where I think they're going, it's going to be way above 14. But if the fundamentals went wrong, then you got to make a decision of like, do I cut losses? So that's
what
the
would
thing
what say. Would have to happen for you to cut losses?
Well, every stock's different. For the chef, what would have to happen would be, have to be a situation where they stop growing, and I'm like, I don't see this business having a path to profitability. So if that happened, that would be a situation where I'm like, oh, I'm going to have to, you know, sell for a loss. And
I was half expecting you to be like, I'm going to go to Target one of these days. The shelves are, they're just stocked full. No one's buying.
Yeah. If like growth died there and I didn't see a path to profitability, that's where, you know, you kind of had to make a tough decision. But I don't see that one, that happening with that one.
But let's say that they're growing.
Yeah.
They have some profits, but their share price is still $7. $8.
Yeah, eventually, if your net income keeps catching up, eventually your market cap has to go up. Like, let's say the chef was earning, hypothetically, $100 million on their bottom line right now. The stock would have to be, the company would have to be valued at, you know, depending upon growth rates, but probably about $3 billion. That's like 6x from where we're at right now. It's like a $500 million market cap. Mm. So, you know, because that's the way stocks are valued. You usually trade at, depending upon growth rates, anywhere between like a 10 and a 30 PE, unless you got a really big growth rate, then you'll trade way over that.
Mm.
So, you know, like Amazon, for instance, trades at like a 50 PE, mm-hmm. but Amazon, people look at that and they're like, it's just a growth beast. It's going to continue to grow. They're going to get way more profitable. So, but yeah, for me, that's my thing. Like today I bought Meta, I bought Amazon, I bought PayPal, I bought The Chef, I bought Honest, and I bought Corsair.
All right, Andre, time to short.
Yeah, short them, baby.
Time to short.
Do the opposite of what Jeremy.
Hey, at least one of us will make money. You know, it's kind of like going to play roulette, and it's like one of you puts it on red, one of you puts it on black,
and then it hits green. Yeah, and then everyone loses.
How did we all lose? Oh gosh,
that's fun. Can I ask what silver's doing on it? Because I don't keep up with it.
Not great, but not bad. I mean, recently it hasn't really done much.
I thought it was down today.
Yeah. Oh, what's the house update?
Oh, no update.
No update.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Down 2% today.
Is it? Silver?
Yeah, silver. Down 3%.
Is that worse than
Bitcoin? 3% to the last 5 days.
What?
Jeez. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I got to pull this up.
Down 10% year to date.
Oh, my gosh. 10%?
Yeah.
Well, in this market, I'll take 10%. If I could only lose 10%, I will.
If I can lose
that
in line with inflation, I'm good.
Dude, literally, that's
winning.
That's the market we're in. It's like, well, who's losing?
Well, no, actually,
money right now?
Inflation would double that. So then it's a net loss of 18%.
Oh, that's
yeah, because you're getting yeah the loss on top of the loss.
Yeah.
Okay. Jeez, man. Oh my gosh.
You know what sucks is it's like in the let's if we view the crypto market for instance right now, right? You look at like Coinbase. Coinbase is down 80% year to date.
80.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Year to date. Bitcoin is down, I don't know, maybe 50% year to date. Yeah. And so it's like you would have thought Coinbase would be the safer play because yeah that's an actual company. They were profitable. I don't know if they're going to be moving forward. And then it's like, well, they get all crypto exposure. And then here it is, Coinbase down 80%. And it's like you would have been better off just buying Bitcoin.
Exactly. Like, oh no, that's gosh what I was thinking too. Yeah. I was like, I don't understand why I did that. I should have just owned Bitcoin instead.
So who made a statement? Was it Gary Gensler said he would treat Bitcoin as a commodity?
An yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and that's the only one he would treat. Is that a? I think that's a bullish thing
a great
for Bitcoin.
Thing.
Yeah, for him, it's a step closer for the Bitcoin ETF.
Yeah,
yeah.
It feels like that's just a matter of time.
I bought a whole Bitcoin over the weekend.
Ooh.
Yeah, so I know I said I would buy a ton if it went up under 25K, which okay it did. So I bought a whole one. So lowering my cost basis here. But
now, do you disclose how many you have right now?
I think about 11.
Ooh,
something like that.
And something you're like at 21.
Bitcoin?
Yeah.
No.
Oh.
No. 50? No, I think it was 10 something, 10 Bitcoin.
Ooh, it's yeah a race.
I'm catching up.
You better get
I wanted to have 10 Bitcoin, 100 Ethereum.
Okay.
That's where I'm at right now. Yeah. But I think my cost basis is lower than yours.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about for the rest of 22? Are you guys more interested in Bitcoin or Ethereum? Or
I buy a little bit, not on a daily basis, but maybe every few days.
Okay.
Buy a set amount.
I was watching the Impulsive episode with Kevin O'Leary that recently came out.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard that Kevin said that he has 20 to 30% of his net worth in cryptocurrency.
What?
Now, I think that was taken out of context because he's invested in a lot of cryptocurrency companies.
Oh.
And I would not be surprised if that includes the cryptocurrency company equity.
That's cheating. Yeah, I don't know.
That's what I think. True. I don't think that he has 30% because he is so converted. He told me in my video, mm-hmm, you should never have more than 5% of your net worth in any stock, single stock or company.
What?
And
more than 10%, is it a sector? What was the
sector?
Yeah,
I forget.
15%.
Yeah, something like that per sector. And he says that he balances on like a regular basis if he's overweight on one and under. So I would guess that probably encompasses the companies he's investing in. And I bet he's invested in a lot of crypto companies.
Yeah, no, that's
wow
true. Yeah. But I do think he owns a lot of individual coins as well.
Probably.
At this point, yeah.
Yeah, he listed off a few. I'd listened to some of that podcast, but he listed off a few that he holds.
Yeah.
Dang, okay.
Have you been buying a little bit more crypto,
No, but I'm gonna.
You're going to?
Yeah, I'm
heck
gonna.
Yeah.
Ethereum.
Ethereum?
Yeah,
why?
Eventually.
Eventually.
What are you waiting
when
for,
when it goes
Jeremy
to zero.
Well, it might go
lower. When they do the upgrade.
I don't want to catch a falling knife. And Ethereum's a falling knife. So I'm going to wait till it's at the bottom, and that's when I'm going to load up, and then it's going to go super high.
And this, by the time Jeremy gets in, then we all sell.
We'll sell.
That's it.
Oh, God.
The nail in the coffin.
The nail in the coffin. Yep. Oh, man. What if it's like $10 at that point, Graham? You can't take that loss,
man. I can go to five.
Go to five.
You short, and you get some of the money back. You know, it's like, oh, gosh. You still get a gain out of it.
I wish I got in at 17 when Bitcoin... it was so brief. It was like for a day or two.
Yeah. Well, and it could go back there. That's
the
other thing.
It could. It could go to 10.
Yeah. We saw it, you know, it dipped down to like 25.5 that one day. Then it came back to 30. And then it was like, oh, man, why didn't we get it at 25.5? Then it broke that 25 barrier and then straight down to 20, then straight down to 17.
It's held really strong at 20 so far. Mm-hmm. But when you look, it also held just as equally strong 30. At 30.
Yeah, for like a month.
Right.
And then,
so we could go from 20 down to like 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or 12 or 13 or whatever that is.
It could happen.
Yeah. The main thing is if there's more liquidations, I feel like, from the big guys. Because when you look at those moves in Bitcoin and Ethereum, they were so violent. Like, straight down. Like you know, when they would make the big move down, like, several thousand dollars on Bitcoin, for instance, it was, like, down in a straight line where you just could not, you know, there wasn't enough buying pressure to even, like, stabilize it at all.
Yeah.
So it felt like liquidation out
there. Oh, geez.
Uh-oh.
16 Bitcoin.
No way.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. Yeah, right. I guarantee everyone just had a mini heart attack there.
No, I got excited. I was like, what?
16.
Let me start buying.
Gosh, let me start buying.
Pranked you guys.
I was about to buy it.
It's a prank. It's a prank, bro. It's a social experiment.
I was about to start
I do that
buying,
to Alex all the time.
Oh, really? My gosh.
All the time. I'm like, dude, Ethereum just went to like $700. What?
Oh, but one time he told me that he's like, dude, Bitcoin's at 22, and he wasn't joking, and I didn't believe it because he's like, he always pulls that on me, and then when it's true, I don't jump the. I'm like, what? So I always have to double check.
Are you guys tempted to get in Doge?
Not even a little bit.
What is it? But you know what? Funny thing, Doge has held up better than Bitcoin this last month. It's basically just held at five cents.
Wow.
Five to 6 cents. Bitcoin drops 20%. It goes from 5.5 to 5.
Wow.
I mean, it's just.
Jeez.
Well, Elon's buying.
Is he? Yeah. Is he really, though? That's what I wonder. I'm like.
I think he would, yeah.
And does it even, like, what if he buys like $10,000 worth of Dogecoin? Does that even matter?
I mean, it's like, he doesn't have to buy it as long as he tweets about it. Like, the last time he tweeted about it, Dogecoin went from 0.052 cents to 0.055 cents within 3 minutes of his tweet.
Wow.
I mean, that's an increase of market cap at the time was a little over 300 mil.
Whoa.
Can you imagine the power of someone's tweet increasing a market cap by 300 mil? That's insane.
Gosh.
So, I mean, as long as Dogecoin has Elon, like, that's powerful.
Wow.
Yeah.
Imagine what it would do if he just said, selling my Doge.
Ooh. That would be crazy.
On an April Fool's?
No. Like, imagine what it would do if his dog passed away. Like, aww. I feel like that would, you know, because when he got the dog, it went crazy, right?
He wouldn't tweet about that, though.
Probably not.
You don't know.
No.
What if it's emotional? What was the name of the dog? It was like,
I don't know.
I forget it too.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Doji dog.
Doji dog.
How are all those other cryptos doing that were like babies of Doge? Like, wasn't there Shiba?
Oh, like the Shiba Inu.
Yeah. What happened
Shiba
to all those guys?
I'm not following them, but I'm not sure.
Those got hit just as much as Doge did. I mean, but probably worse so.
I would assume
Because they all trade in like a leveraged version of Dogecoin. So if Doge moves up like 10%, some of those can move up 20%.
Wow.
And the inverse happens. If Doge is down 5%, they could be down 30%.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Do those still have big communities? Like,
I'm sure they do.
Because the Shiba was the biggest outside of Doge, right?
Yeah.
And I would be, I'm interested to see if they still got like big communities around them.
Oh, they do, yeah.
They do.
They're religions. They're miniature religions. And
the AMC community is still there, too.
Still there, yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's just
same
not
with the GameStop community.
As big as it once was, I guess you could say.
The BlackBerry community.
Yeah. Everyone is still waiting for the Moaz, the mother of all short squeezes.
Yeah. Just when we hit unemployment of 10%, that's when it happens. Oh, gosh.
Jeez.
Pass it on to your grandkids, and maybe they could get the mother of all squeezes.
The $5 million stock.
Yeah.
The one thing I'll say that's good for actually AMC is movies are hot right now, man. You know, you had the Top Gun movie, which was massive.
So good, though.
Yeah,
did you see it?
Good movie, yeah.
So good.
And my gosh, theater was packed when I went, and that was the second or third weekend it was out.
Great. Graham, do you watch movies? Do you go out and enjoy it?
Not really. I wanted to see that the phone movie.
The phone movie?
I don't know what it's called.
The phone movie.
It's a movie.
If you want to see a movie on your phone, that's what
like,
you mean.
There's like some movie about a phone. Yeah, it's like a scary it's a scary movie about a phone.
That movie came out in 2014.
No.
It was called It. No.
What?
No, that's
you know what, guys? I'm proud, though, because I told Graham to watch Love on the Spectrum on Netflix.
I love that show. That's one of my favorite shows.
Such a good show.
Dude, and, I love that show.
To my surprise, he actually went and he watched it. And
the Black
he
Phone.
Loved it.
The
Black Phone. Horror movie got 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Jeez, never seen that.
Yeah. So anyway. Yeah, Love on the Spectrum.
Only three people have seen it.
Yeah, we finished it last night, all three seasons of it.
Great.
Really good. So heartwarming. It's one of the few shows that you could watch.
It's so wholesome.
And you feel just
wholesome,
good afterwards. Oh, wow. It's just nice, friendly. There's nothing bad about it. It's like, instead of watching the news and just like depressive stuff.
You're genuinely cheering for the people.
You're so happy for them. And like, you see their enjoyment and you feel the same way that they feel. And it's really nice.
It's really good.
And, like, you get the same nerves that they do. And I think we've all had moments too, when you're on a date and you just feel awkward and you run out of things to say and you just, and you see that tension that they're experiencing, and you know like how that feels to just be like, well, the sky's nice today. It's supposed to rain.
It's true.
And you feel it. Yeah.
I love the guy who, he was in the US season, and, I forgot his name, but I know he was Indian and he was probably about 30.
Yep.
And he was talking about the credit cards. He's like, oh, and if you use this credit card, you get these points. And then, he was practicing going on a date with his, coach and his mom was the waiter, and he hands his card to his mom. He's like, but don't actually take money out of it. And I was like, that's my guy.
He wanted to split the check. Like, he was very insistent on splitting the check. Right. I'm rooting for this guy. I'm like, yeah, this guy knows. But he's really into credit card churning, and I would not be surprised if, like, he's watched the credit card videos.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
But Jeremy, you got to watch the show.
Yeah, I was just thinking about this one date I was on back in the day.
Oh, tell us
about it.
Oh my gosh. So I took this girl to P.F. Chang's back in the day, and first off, she dressed strangely, I would describe it. So then we're in like the mall parking lot, and I'm trying to figure out, are we going to do something else? And I was like, are we going to do something else? She's like, I'm down for whatever. And then I was like,
after P.F. Chang's, man.
Yeah, she's like, I'm down. She said again, I'm down for whatever. And then I was like,
that teriyaki was bomb.
I was like, well, I think this is about it. I think I just want to go home. And I dropped her off.
How old are you?
I was probably like 20 or so. 20. Yeah, probably 20.
Did you see 19, her again 20. Or no?
No, I didn't.
You just weren't into her?
No, I wasn't actually.
I feel like there's more strange to the story you're not saying, because I was really direct. You're like, I met this girl. We had some P.F. Chang's. I was like, peace out.
Because I had full cool abilities story there, you know. And I know if other people would have been in my position, they would have taken advantage of the full ability.
Oh, well, what happened though? Like, what's wrong with the girl? What happened?
I just wasn't feeling it, man.
Oh, okay. Just no chemistry.
Yeah, no chemistry. Yeah. She looked good, but I wasn't feeling it.
Oh.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it turned out all right.
It turned out all right, but I just like that mental image, because you said awkward, and I was trying to remember, did anything awkward ever happen? That's the only thing that comes to my mind, and it was like awkward, because she's like, I'm down for whatever. And I was like, okay, I think that's about it. I think I'm just going to go home.
It's not as bad as my Tinder date from eight years ago.
Crazy story. Yeah.
I don't know if I ever told this publicly.
Probably not.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah. I forgot it if you told me.
I don't know.
You need to tell us it, because it's so crazy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So my friend from middle school, we'll just call him Bob, texts me, and he's like, dude, congrats on the YouTube success. I'd love to meet up and like ask you some questions about it. And I was like, oh my gosh, we haven't spoken since middle school. Yeah, let's do it. And so I'm like, let's meet at my house. Gave him the address next week. So next week comes around, and this, I'm upstairs working. Corey, my girlfriend, comes downstairs. She answers the door, and she comes back up, and she's like, Andre, your friend Bob is here. By the way, is Bob a boy or a girl? I'm like, it's a guy. He's my guy friend. I mean, I don't know, maybe not anymore, but like, whatever. And she's like, well, that was a girl. I'm like, what? That's not even possible. I only know one Bob. That's a guy. We're just switching names here. Okay. Yeah. So I go downstairs and I open the door, and my heart just like drops. And I'm like, oh my God. It turns out it's a Tinder date I had from like 8 years ago.
Wow.
And I feel horrible about it, because she could see I'm flustered, and I'm like, oh, I don't know what to say, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, could you give me like 1 minute? And then I go upstairs and I'm like, Corey, this is what happened. And then like, I explain the whole situation. Yeah. And I'm like, I feel bad for like just leaving her like outside. So I was like,
okay, can you explain a little bit Corey's emotions in this state? Do you think
she was laughing?
She was
totally cool.
Okay.
She's like, yeah, just go hang out.
Cause some girls would be like, oh, you're for doing sure something.
No, no, no.
What are
you
doing?
She was totally cool. She's like, yeah, go and hang out. Mm-hmm. And so we go to like a Starbucks that's like 2 minutes away from the house. And we start talking, and she talks to me about her YouTube career and like how to help. And I try helping her. And then she's like, what's wrong? You seem really off. And I'm like, do you remember when we went on a date together? You weren't into me. And she's like, yeah. I was like, do you remember what you said though? And she's like, no. I'm like, you said you really liked me, but the reason you don't want to go on a second date is because, and I quote, I didn't have a Lambo. She literally says that. She's like, I don't like guys that don't have nice cars. And I'm like, oh,
did she specifically say Lambo?
Yes. That would have been, that's hilarious.
Yeah. And okay, so I say this to her, and she's like, there's no way. I didn't say that. She pulls her phone out. I'm not exaggerating.
Mm-hmm.
And she scrolls through our texts from 8 years ago.
Whoa.
Which I don't know how that's even possible to still have.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, okay, I'll find it. Sure enough, there was that text.
Can I see it? Do you still have it?
No, no, it's on her phone.
Okay.
Okay.
And sure enough, she just says that to me. She texts me. It was the most awkward situation ever. So when we part ways, she's like, is everything all right? Like, something feels off. I'm like, yeah, don't worry about it. That's a different Bob that was supposed to show up. But yeah. Oh,
gosh.
Yeah. I would have told her at the door, like, hey, listen, I'm so sorry. I thought you were somebody else. I can't. Like,
yeah, I felt really bad.
I would have just told her. I mean, it sounds like she traveled to Las Vegas. Like, she lives in Vegas, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so what? It's a 10-minute drive for her, probably.
Yeah.
I would have just left her at the door.
Hey, remember me? I could buy that Lambo now.
Yeah, I mean, especially if it ended like that. Like, if you ended on good terms, or just like, you know,
it was amicable. It was like,
yeah, but that's a rude comment.
How did you get inside this guard gated community? It's a gated community. Please get the.
I don't feel bad. I'm not going to judge her. If that's what she wants, that's what she wants. You know, like, that's fine.
Yeah, but that's your time you're giving up. But then again, yeah. I mean, misunderstanding. Yeah, it's fine.
I was just being nice.
It's an interesting story. Yeah,
it was crazy.
I would say so. Yeah.
Anyway, that's. Yeah. Then I took her to P.F. Chang's.
Yeah. Chang's, man. Oh, gosh.
All right. Appreciate you guys for watching. We'll see you guys next week. Jeremy, Graham, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
See you next time.
Having us?
FTX, MMFTX.com / Make
HTTP /.
www.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much. Make sure to subscribe. And until next time.
And smash.
The like button.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hurry into Menards and save big money. Stock up on water softener salt for softer skin and cleaner clothes. Diamond Crystal is the perfect choice of salt to minimize water softener tank residue. It helps your soaps and detergents clean better while increasing the life of your appliances and plumbing. Save big on Diamond Crystal products at Menards. And don't forget to check out the flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.